Thank you, Wimpy, for giving me this opportunity. And I've got a testimony, but I'm going to get to my testimony, if that's okay. Because I think I must give you a little bit of background. Firstly, for those that can't remember what I said, and also for those who haven't heard it before. But I think it's good, you'll see why I think it's good to remember some of it. So 4 years ago, I was lying in a hospital bed in George with heart failure. So if you remember, I only had 20% function. Sheila had taken me to Riversdale. I'd gone into ER. ER had contacted an ambulance. The ambulance took me to George. I'd been in a long period of depression. I've been diagnosed with bipolar mood disorder, and I've been taking medication for most of my life, most of my adult life. And I'd almost allowed, in this time of depression, I'd been misusing alcohol. Something that was very dear to me, it's not so dear to me now, but it was just red wine. I loved the stories of where it grew and how it grew, and was it put in metal casks or was it in oak casks and all of this stuff. I just loved that story, but my flesh had other plans and I was pulled into a very dark place and I abused it. And when I was lying in that hospital bed in George, Peter says in 1 Peter 5 that the enemy is like a roaring lion, roaming around, looking for whom he may devour. And like I said the last time, devour is not a beautiful word, it's death. So there is some, and the more I meditated on the enemy, I see the enemy as my flesh as well. So it's my flesh enemy, I'm going to use them together. So I'd actually heard the lion roar when I was lying in that bed in George. Sheila, why don't you give me a tissue, please? I don't want to sound like a five-year-old with flu. But so when I was lying in that hospital bed, I thought of my father, who died at 66 from a heart attack. And I realized I had to do something. So I was released from hospital with medication and the warning not to drink again. So I left the hospital with a bag full of medicine, and deep down in my heart, I said, I'm going to do this. But it was an addiction. You know, it's as hard as what you try, as hard as what you get up every morning and think to yourself, okay, today I'm not going to do it. It doesn't work like that. There's something that's deep inside of your flesh. There's like a hook. There's a hook inside of your flesh. And what I realized when I was in this addiction, when I was in this addictive place where I was thinking, I can beat this, I can beat this, I can beat this. All around me, I was causing damage. I was lying to my wife. It was horrible what I was doing. But I kept thinking, I can do this, I can do this, until the day came that I realized I cannot do this. And as a family, we got together, my daughter, if you remember correctly, my daughter and Sheila, and we came up with a plan that I would go to Cape Town, separate myself. A place where there'd be no temptation. And us looking back now, I can see that God closed all the rehab doors. Because we did look at rehab. But God closed those doors. And although I was looking at it, something told me that that was not the place that God wanted me to go. I felt I needed to take my addiction to the feet of Jesus. And I'll be truthful when I say, when I said this to some people, they sort of looked at me and thought, really? You know? I mean, there's people that battle with this for years, spend tens of thousands of rands. But I knew I had to take it to the feet of Jesus. Jesus was all I had. Jesus was all I needed. God showed me that addiction is a jail where the keys are on the inside. That's not my words, it's someone else's words. And what I realized when I was sitting in Cape Town was that this started with a choice that I made, and it would have to end with a choice that I made. Yes, there's therapy. Yes, there's psychologists. There's psychiatrists. Is it that bad, Kathy? Okay. You get psychologists, psychiatrists, there's medication, there's many, many things. But I just knew that it had to be a decision that I made. And I just want to encourage anyone else who hears this, who's maybe here today or maybe hears the recording, that there comes a time. You know, in the world they have Alcoholics Anonymous. It's like a group and they've got 12 steps and they've got a lot of stuff. But one of the first things they do is you have to put up your hand and say, I'm an alcoholic. So I think that's, although I knew that, I also knew that I had to make a choice. Where am I going? I had to turn 180 degrees, and that is something that comes from the kingdom of God, where you repent and you turn 180 degrees, and you choose not to go back. I can tell you it's more than 2 years. Have I struggled? Have I had a few battles? Yes. But every time I've been able to overcome it. But I can basically say for you, in more than 2 years now, I've maybe had two wobbles. So praise God for that. The promises of God were my hope and my future. So my first scripture is James 4. Verses 7 and 8. Therefore submit to God. I'm going to read New King James, but you'll get it, I'm sure. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 7. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So when I say devil, I'm saying in the same brackets, fleshly desires. And when I read this, submit to God, the first thing that struck me was, if I'm going to submit, I need to obey. In order to obey God, I need to know the Word of God. In order to know the Word of God, I need to read the Word of God. In order to read the Word of God, I need to prioritize time in the Word of God. So how do I even begin to get to submission if I'm not spending time in the Word of God? It's just, I know it sounds simple, but trust me, it's not as easy, but it's a fact. So that's the first step in this resist and flee, is the submission part. And then when we get to the, So the way I prioritized the Word of God is I started off setting my alarm, 90 minutes a day. Eventually I was reading way past that. I wasn't reading verses, I was reading chapters. I wasn't reading chapters, I was reading books. The more I read, the more the Word opened up to me. You know, it just became this place that I could go to every day. And I was sitting in a room where most of my family would be walking, my family, Cape Town family, would be walking past me. So they'd see me reading and reading and making notes and reading and reading and making notes. So I just felt that I was submitting to God. And then I was beginning to resist. Again, I told the story last time that the house that I was staying in Cape Town, the neighbors had a pool, and next to the pool there was a bar, an outside bar. And my family had visions of me at night climbing over this fence and stealing from the bar. Are they saved? I think my family are saved. Are they serving the Lord? I'm not sure. But maybe that's why they couldn't understand what I was doing was going to be a victory. So I had to learn, by submitting, I was learning to resist. And resist literally means saying no. Coming back to the point of having a choice, we have a choice. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the flesh and it will flee. Say no, stop yourself, say no. Flee literally means run away. And when my family would say to me, "So Dad, how are you feeling?" My daughter would say, "Dad, how are you feeling? Is it the struggle in your soul? You know, are you feeling withdrawal symptoms?" I said, "No. Praise God, no." So, yeah, all glory and honor to God. Draw near to God. Draw near means getting close to someone, spending more and more time in their presence, having an intimate relationship with that person. And isn't it beautiful that God says when we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. You know, so if you're ever in a place where you feel God's not near, well, I've got news for you. You better do something about it. Because it does begin with you in this particular context. I prioritize my devotional time, my worship, my word, my prayer. As you know, I can play guitar, but I took a guitar with me and I was able to even write a song. God's word said He will draw near to me. And what God showed me when I was preparing, that all the power that is manifest in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all the power that created the heavens and earth, everything we see, everything we don't see, all of that power is available to me in the presence of God. Now, what can stand against that? You know what? Say to that flesh, be away with you, be away with you. My second scripture, my closing scripture, my landing scripture, I suppose. Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal, I beseech, it says, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God just showed me as I was pouring myself into the word that there was a renewal taking place in my mind. That's why that withdrawal symptom wasn't there, because my mind was being renewed. Pathways that had been established were being taken away, were being replaced. That you may, and do not be conformed to this world. So when I think of conformed, I think of a mold. They pour plastic or they pour metal into it, and then when they break open the mold, there's a shape. The world can shape you if you're not careful. And you can pour yourself into a shape that is not a good shape. So God's calling us to break those molds. Amen. So now I get to the testimony part. So 2 weeks ago, I went to George to see a cardiologist, which I see every 6 months. And I'd never seen him before. I normally see the same guys. And he sat down and he introduced himself. And they get your file about 10 minutes before they call you. So they've been looking at your file on the system. And they have got an ECG, which was taken that morning. And we went in, he introduced himself, Dr. Sparmer, S-P-A-M-E-R. And he was just chatting, and do you feel this and do you feel that? And I said, no, no, no. And then he kept saying, then why are you here? So I said to him, well, it's a six-monthly checkup. And then he said to me, I'm looking at your heart function. I'm seeing that your heart function 2 years ago was 20%. 2 weeks ago, it was 45%. All glory to God. So Sheila smiled and looked at the doctor and said, the cardiologist, and said, so that's an answer to prayer. It's a miracle, eh? And he smiled because he can't say yes. But he said, in his experience, you might be able to maintain your heart function. Over time, there will be a little bit of a drop-off. But he said, to see a more than doubling of heart function in such a short pace of time, he said he'd never seen it. Praise God. So, I just, and since I've tried my best, have I done it every day? No, but I've tried my best to keep that devotional protocol, I don't know why I said that word, but that devotional habit of word, worship, prayer. I've tried to keep it as much as I can. And I can honestly tell you that the more, I just feel it's like a muscle. Reading the word is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the easier it becomes. Because I don't think any of us, when we were born again, maybe there are some people, but I don't think anyone just suddenly was going to wake up every morning and read the Bible for half an hour or 45 minutes. So definitely for me, the one thing I would leave with you is to prioritize your time with the Lord. And then, so God not only healed my heart in the spiritual, but he healed my heart in the physical. Amen. Okay, now I'm going to sing a song. I just wanted to say, I've got to be obedient because God showed me something in worship. Jack, I just want to say that God sees your heart. And I just feel like you have a calling, a leadership calling. And I've said this to Daniel, but I thought it was just for Daniel, but I think it's just for young men, for leaders that are coming up. And the word that God gave me was regarding the story of David. And the thing was, David was that he spent most of his youth with God, in looking after sheep and fighting lions and killing bears and all of that. And it was that ability to hear God's voice that when he eventually got to the battlefield one day and everyone, including his family, was telling him, what are you doing here? Giving him armor that was too big. He didn't listen to those voices. He listened to his God's voice. So God's just saying to you this morning, don't listen to those other voices. God's put a calling on your life. Maybe there's even a worry in you. And there's an anointing. And what I love about the story of David and Goliath is he didn't listen to anything else except God's voice. And what stirred him up into anger wasn't, he didn't see the size of Goliath. He didn't see the weapons. He didn't see the shield. He didn't see the spear. He saw nothing. He just saw this, whatever. I can't think of a word, but you know what I mean. Who was speaking against his God. That's all he heard. Who is this person who is saying these bad things about my God? And that just, he just stepped out in faith, and as you know, he took him down. So I just feel for you, God sees your heart. God has a calling on your life, and just listen to his voice. Amen. And I wrote this song. The inspiration for the song was Romans 12, about being a living sacrifice. I come to you, Lord, I come to you. I bring all I am, Lord, bring all I have. I lay it all down, Lord, lay it all down. On the altar of sacrifice, burn, burn, burn away everything. that's of me. Fill me, Lord, with everything that's from you, Jesus, refining fire, come refine. Purify me, come purify. Leave nothing of me, Lord, nothing of me. On the altar of sacrifice, burn away everything that's of me. Fill me again with everything that's from you, Jesus, burn away everything that's of me. Fill me again with everything that's from you, Jesus. Fill me again with everything that's from you, Jesus. I come to you, Lord, I come to you. I bring all I have, Lord, bring all I have. Lay it all down, Lord, lay it all down. On the altar of sacrifice, burn away everything that's of me. Fill me again with everything that's of you, Jesus, refining fire, come refine. Purify me, come purify. Leave nothing of me, Lord, nothing of be on the altar of sacrifice. Bird, bird, bird away everything that's of me. Fill, fill me, Lord, with everything that's from you, Jesus, Jesus.